Hey, everybody. Jeff Prather here on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Caught me a little early there or something. I was still talking to Maurice there about the Courage as an old veteran. But a lot to cover. Sounds really loud, John. Is that me, I guess? Maybe it's just my bad. Okay. Anyway, so a lot going on. First is... from Mike Emery, thanks for reminding me. Happy birthday, U.S. Navy. Of course, it's already been the Army's birthday as the senior service. I was an Army soldier, Continental Congress. That was back in June 14th, I think. And it's the Navy, the Marines coming up here in November, the Tunes Tavern guys, and the Air Force sometime after that, or maybe September, but they didn't come into existence until really the end of World War II. But a lot happened in today that I want to get to. The first thing is this is really, the next couple of days will be Sukkot. That is the Festival of Booths, or I think that's a bad translation, the Festival of Tabernacles in the Jewish tradition. And what's really significant, the better way to say that is the indwelling of the Spirit with the harvest. And there's a lot of folks like me who study scripture, and we really think that this is the time when Yeshua, Jesus, HaMashiach, the Christ, was born. And that's because when the angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah, who's going to be the father of Yochanan, John, because we know that because Martha greeted Mary when Mary was pregnant, that Zechariah was a priest and he had his priestly duties in the temple. And so they divided those up. And he was in there about the course of Abijah, the eighth course. And so that's getting into the Jewish calendar because we just had the Jewish New Year. We can estimate the time frame and backdate all that from 9 months. And that kind of comes from Luke, as it came to pass while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And when Zechariah saw the angel, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth, not Martha, Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call him Yochanan, John. So if you backdate the time, it gets kind of complicated, but you can look it up. But if you backdate the time, you can see that Yeshua was probably born because Elizabeth went to see Mary at this time, that Yeshua was probably born around Sukkot, not in December like we celebrate, because that's the solstice, and the Catholic Church kind of did that too. Just make sure that was a holiday that everybody was paying attention to. And there's lots of other things that make sense on that, but I guess I won't delve into that too much. But it's interesting, because if you're really going to understand the New Testament, the scriptures, you got to really look at the Torah, the Septuagint, and the Hebrew and understand, because there's something corresponding all the time in that regard. Anyway, so if you are, because I know some Christians don't pay attention to Christus and Santa Claus, even though there is a St. Nicholas, and I'll talk about that if I'm still around here in December. But that is important to note. Not that I don't like celebrating Christmas, love Christmas, and Christmas really comes into its own in America with kids and toys. But the other important thing is this is Indigenous Day and Native Day tomorrow, and replacing Columbus Day. So from my Native heritage, my adopted grandfather teacher, Philip Casador, and you can read all about that in my book on Amazon if you want, Initiation, Boys Are Born, Men Are Trained, My Journey with an Apache Medicine Man, great read, funny, watching me learn all kinds of stuff. Columbus never discovered America. He never made it to America. He was off the islands in Cuba. And you can read his own logs. He said the Taino, I think it was the Taino people there, they're very guileless and open and easily subdued. And he subdued them and killed them and enslaved them and raped them and wrote about raping them, wrote about lashing a woman until she submitted and putting dogs on him and everything. So that was all started by the Knights of Columbus to get a holiday. And it should go away. And as far as Native folks go, you like potato chips? So potatoes are from the Bolivian Peruvian highlands. I lived with the Aymara people. That's where they originate. Not in Europe, not with Ireland. They originate in South America with the Aymara people. And that stopped the famines. The potatoes stopped the European famines. The European people before the potato were kind of like a lot of African peoples really starving to death. So that stabilized the European population, but no one gives them credit for it except me, because we overlook our native heritage. Really interesting how they would do that at high altitudes where it would freeze at night. They made these little channels. And so that they had water in those channels, and there would be a little mist so the plants would not freeze. Really fascinating indigenous farming. And corn, you like your tortilla chips, and of course corn stabilized America in its sustenance. And that originated right around here, right north of Mexico, southern Arizona, a long time ago with the ancient Hopis peoples, the corn woman. Everybody has a corn story about how important corn is, and we blessed with cattail pollen and corn pollen, really important. And that was from the grain teosinte, which was they genetically engineered that grain, and we still don't know how they did it. So the whole idea that they were savages and there was nothing here is completely untrue. It was just a different kind of culture, a very different kind of culture. So corn was very important. And oh my gosh, I already got a caller. So I will stop there for a second. Hi, Ingrid. Welcome to the show.
Hi. You know, a few minutes ago, you were talking about how men were treating women at that time and how Columbus and his guys weren't very nice. And that went to the indigenous people, too. Men just took advantage of women. It was, I guess, global, because they're bigger and they can do it. And it's wonderful that we have laws now to prevent that and men respect them. How do you feel about Columbus Day being taken off the calendar and calling it Indigenous Day? Do you think that's a step in the right direction?
I definitely think that's a step in the right direction, and I would disagree with your statement that Native peoples treated women terribly. Chastity.
Can I give a couple of examples?
Sure.
Okay. I don't know which nation it was, and maybe it was not just in one, but if they didn't like what a woman had to say, they would split the tip of her tongue so that she'd always speak very funny. And also, you said that a woman would be beaten until she submitted to sexual activity. Women had to accompany men. One woman would have to accompany men on some journey where it would be long and difficult. And they'd be stuck there. And a woman or two would be assigned to those men, whether she wanted to accompany them or not. All kinds of things went on. And in the Western Hemisphere, North and South, they were cutting out people's hearts as sacrifice and punishment. Human beings have been crummy globally. So to say that, Columbus and his guys weren't very nice. It's true, but a lot of them were like that. Whatever their skin color, purple, maroon, they just, you know, that's just the way it is.
That's true, and I'm certainly not trying to say the Indians are all the good guys. There was plenty of rape and mutilation and babies' heads smashed up against trees and stuff. But generally speaking, you didn't refer to a particular tribe or anything, but generally speaking, women were revered, even though they had to work very hard. If you took, and if you read my book, you'll see, if you took the all the warrior codes of Native America, the 500 tribes, probably it would distill down to nothing must ever be done to harm the children, and everything is born of woman. The chiefs were chosen by grandmothers, for example, Apache people, my people, for example, were matriarchal. And so I'm not sure where you're getting your facts, certainly not from Western movies or something. But yeah, everybody's done terrible things. That's true. And I've already gone over for my first break, so let me take a quick break here. This is Jeff Prather on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Right back with you after this. Jeff Prather on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios. 10:30 a.m. The Voice, trusted local news and talk, 520-790-2040, talking to Tucson about Native Day and Sukkot with Perfection Auto Works as my first and most loyal sponsor at 1046 North Beverly, 323-8650. Stop in and see him. He's right off of Speedway at Beverly. Well, the place is always full, though. You go in there, he's always busy. He's always and real nice and polite to talk to. But stop in and see him. Local, that's how we get rid of all this globalist, socialist, communist stuff. And tribalism isn't socialism. I don't like the way they talk about that either. And to go back to what Ingrid was saying, so the Mayan and Aztecans were ripping hearts out of warriors and babies and women. That did happen up here. It slowly faded from like the Wisconsin, Minnesota area. The last tribe, North American tribe I know of that was doing that was the Pawnee, sacrificing a virgin, I think back in the 1500s or something. But just like with the Apache, the most sacred ceremony of the most ferocious tigers of the Southwest, Crook called them, General Crook, who fought them, was the Nyes, the sunrise ceremony, still is, which I have been in and sung in many times. And that's a coming of age, the moon, when the moon starts for a little girl becoming a woman. And she's blessed to be a Slandelehe, white painted lady, kind of like Mary for Catholics. And there's a story of her being the dragon, the owl monster, eating the kids, very similar to Revelations. If you're getting your facts from movies, the movies are all wrong. Almost every movie is wrong. There's almost no good Native movies out there. Unfortunately, I was hoping to get a call in from an old friend of mine. Wes Studi just got an Oscar, the Salage Cherokee Vietnam vet actor, been in Heat and Avatar and Dancing with Wolves and Last of the Mohicans and just about everything. I got to do a movie with him and Irene Bedard, another fine Native lady years ago. Christmas Miracle at Sage Creek. It's a good little Western, good little family Western. But so the crops came. Tisquantum, Squanto walked out after the Pilgrims' first winter here. They were half dead, about 50 of them left. And he greeted them in English as a fellow Christian. And they were astounded. And he taught them how to plant the Three Sisters, corn, beans, peas, and because he had been captured and sold into slavery, sent over to Europe, rescued by some Franciscan brothers, converted to Catholicism, came back to Turtle Island, to North America, and where the Portuguese fishermen came all the time. America, that's where the word really comes from, not America Vespucci, the map maker. And his old village, all his people had been killed off. And Samoset, another Patuxet tribe, I believe, told him about these guys, and he went in there, and they put their guns on him, but then he came in, greeted him in English, and in as a Christian, as a Catholic, they were Protestant, and basically saved them. That happened over and over again with Pocahontas, Sacagawea, and like the Constitution, like the United States, the Confederacy of States concept, that comes from Degawidia, Hiawatha, and Yaseh, the great peacemakers, the lawmakers, and that was even recognized by the Congress back in 1988 whereas George Washington, his headquarters in New York on August 7th, 1782, devised the bad... That's a Purple Heart. Anyway, they were thanking... Oh, here it is. Resolution 3331. You can look it up. Whereas the original framers of the Constitution, notably George Washington and Benjamin Franklin, to have greatly admired the concepts of the five Iroquois confederacy. Iroquois is a European word. It's really Haudenosaunee, people of the longhouse, where the confederation of the original 13 colonies developed one republic was influenced by the political system developed by the Iroquois confederacy, and where many of the democratic principles of the Constitution itself were incorporated. Basically, they want to thank them for doing that. And that goes back to George Washington at Valley Forge, Chief Shenandoah bringing him corn and venison, bailing him out while his guys are starving. There were Native warriors fighting alongside, although a lot of them fought with the British. But my point here is, yeah, there is racism in the United States. It's really not against black folks. Yeah, there is individual prejudice, but systemic inherent racism against black people does not exist so much. We've had a black president, Oprah, and Morgan Freeman, but systemic racism against Native peoples does certainly exist to a great, great degree. And that's what I'm saying right now by telling you these facts about how indebted we are for our way of life. And I'm always saying it's Judeo-Christian and Native, all three of those elements together. And most people get the Christian, and most people even get a little bit of the Judeo, although you probably didn't know about Sukkot, but everybody misses the Native piece. And that's why I want to bring it up to the forefront today. Arizona, Mexico, those are all Native words. Ohio, Kentucky, a lot of stuff. Tucson, Black Mountain. But I do have another caller. So, Dave, welcome to the conversation.
Hey Major. How you
hey,
doing?
Hey, Dave. How you doing? I haven't heard from you in a while.
I've been working at the ranch, and but I got a... There's Geronimo. There's a real good article on about Geronimo in the True West magazine this month. And Bob Bowles Bell is the editor. He's based out of Cave Creek. But
I know those guys. I used to do cowboy mountain shooting with those guys.
Yeah, I tell you what, check that article out. It's True West magazine. And then Bob Bowles Bell is going to write up a little book on Geronimo probably around December. And he does it with, he did one on Doc Holliday and Wyatt Earp and Wild Bill Hickok and Gunfighters Part 1 and 2 of the West. But yeah, it's you know, in Geronimo, he was in Teddy Roosevelt inaugural parade, and along with Quanah Parker and I think Gall, Sitting Bull. It's like amazing. And they paid him, in this article, they paid him $171. To go to Teddy Roosevelt inaugural parade, and he took like a dollar with him. And on the way, this guy was a businessman. I tell you what, he was making money. People were wanting to take his picture and sign. He signed autographs. He was selling buttons off his shirt and jacket. And then the next stop, he would go buy more buttons and sew them back on and resell them. He was never allowed to come back to Arizona, but that's a shame. He ended up dying in Oklahoma.
You're an old Green Beret, right?
Yes, sir.
So crossed arrows and all that, and read On the Border with Crook, and I've read all the journals. Besides being with the Apache people, I've read the guys who fought him, and they were very praiseworthy of him. So they paid their debts because they only became our implacable enemies once we betrayed him, because it was a second lieutenant, Bascom, down just south of Sonoyta, at the shrine there at the Nicho, if you know, driving to Patagonia, where the ranch was, and second lieutenant took Cochise hostage under a flag of truce, violated a...
Yeah.
And yeah, and you know, Wes Studi, my friend Wes Studi, you know, he made Geronimo, but I think the last one was like in the 80s. This is the first generation now that really is still not fascinated. Boy Scouts, you know, fascinated with Native culture, and we are less for it. And I'll tell you, you're a good scholar. Is read Ohayesa. He was a pre-reservation Dakota. Land of the Spotted Eagle. Oh, yes, this is Lakota. I'm trying to think of his American name. Great, well-spoken, talking about Native culture. But
you were talking last. I was going to call in last week. You were talking about the one Native American that passed away. He was in Lakota, and big activist, good American patriot, and I can't think of his name. But he was in Dancing with Wolves. He was in Last of the Mohicans. What was his name?
He wrote Where White Men Fear to Tread. I can't think of his name either right now. Floyd Crow Westerman. I knew him too from Dances with Wolves.
What a great movie!
Yeah,
you know, they made it. That the guy that wrote the book, Michael Blake, he died, but he was at Barnes, not Borders, on Oracle.
Michael Blake died because he used to live down in Sonora.
Yeah,
I used to see him every once in a while, yeah.
And he got remarried and his young wife, but he came in, and when he signed his book, March into Valhalla, that was a sequel to Dances with Wolves, and then nobody's picked it up for a screenplay or make a movie. But he came in buckskin, and his wife sitting over there, and he spoke to probably about maybe 50 people there, and signed books, and talked about how much money he made off of Dances with Wolves. And the reason why that movie was made was because of Kevin Costner. And he funded the movie and backed him. And
Kevin Costner funded his movie. My wife was in a movie with Kevin Costner. Kevin got knocked off his horse. I think he was made an honorary to Yospoye, the Hunkyape, the making a relative ceremony, because I'm also a pipe holder in Lakota, so I speak a little Lakota. But yeah, I saw him down when he was down somewhere. He was making Tin Cup. I was driving like, where'd that golf course come from? I was driving home one day, and it was the set for Tin Cup. Real nice guy.
That was a good movie. Hopefully somebody will pick it up and make a movie out of March in Valhalla. I tell you what, I can watch Dances with Wolves over, and I got it on Blu-ray, so that's what, you got to get it on Blu-ray. You get that, the backdrop of Montana and the Dakotas. Beautiful country, you know, beautiful country, and it's a shame.
Russell Means, my wife is taking, Russell Means is who we're talking
about. Russell Means, he's got some videos on YouTube, and I tell you what, listen to him.
Yeah, which where he's talking about, because you're all on a reservation now. Yeah, I've done Pray Through and Pizza, which I might do again in the fall, I would show some of Russell Means stuff. You should come. Check out my book. Yeah. You'd love it on Amazon, Initiation, Boys Are Born, Men Are Trained, Jeffrey Prather. It's real. And it's true. You can still go up to Desert Sun, where I met Philip here in Tucson. It's Steve's still there. The whole story with the moccasins. Really, what is so important is that they understand relationing so well, the circle, keeping the family circle. And it's not about color. It's about culture and the rite of passage to adulthood, where boys and girls become men and women, are trained for that. And we don't do that hardly at all anymore.
Hey, Major, if you get a chance, the first Saturday of November out at the Empire Ranch, they're having the Day of the Cowboy. You got
to
come.
I get invited to that every year, and I used to live right down there, and I just never have had. I used to get invited to, because I lived right behind the stakeout up on the hill. I had a teepee up on the hill, and I knew the Crown Sea guys and all that stuff.
They got so much to see and do. Brandon, Farian, Brady. They got B Troop from Fort Huachuca there doing
B Troop, yeah. That's the book I'm writing. They went to B Troop because Philip came down and found me when I went over to see B Troop, the old cavalry troop. But
If you got to come, and listeners, I mean, it's a beautiful drive down there, Sonora, Elgin, Patagonia.
It is.
And they got food, you know, and it's free to get in. They just want like a $5 to $10 donation. And all that money goes to the Empire Ranch. But Old Man Vale, when they captured Geronimo, he was captured like four or five. When one of the times he was captured, Old Man Vale went down to Fort Huachuca to see Geronimo. And Geronimo said, Old Man Vale, and Emil Franci told the story better than me, but he was saying that, come down here to meet you, Geronimo. And Geronimo says, well, I already met you.
You just didn't see me,
you didn't see me. I was in the bushes, and I could have jumped out any time and slit your throat, but I didn't. And, I tell you what, the Apaches are amazing people, you know.
They're really Apaches. Funny, too.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate it, Dave.
Hey, you have a good day. Hope to see you down there the first Saturday of November.
All right, Dave. Dale Presley Bear. You. Okay, so ran over there talking to an old fellow SF guy. This is Jeff Prather on the Prather Point, the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Right back with you after this break. Jeff Prather on the Prather Point, the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Right back with you. Yeah, Mike Emery's been around since 1994, almost as long as my Bujinkan Dojo's been here. I'm at 4518 East Broadway. You can stop in and see me, BujinkanUSA.com. BujinkanUSA.com. That means Warrior Spirit School. Been in martial arts for 50 years. Had kids grow up in the dojo and go into the military and police and get married and all kinds of stuff. It's non-competitive warrior art, really cool. And, of course, warriorschool.com, still in there if you want to learn to use a handgun. We just had a new couple start. That's my handgun martial arts class every Wednesday night at the same location. And ChristChaplaincy.com was going on today. And so staying busy. In fact, I did because of Indigenous Day, I rode traditional today in Apache regalia. I was out there, and some people, usually they're kind of intimidated by the Apache look. It's quite different than the Western, what you see in the movies. And but some people were talking to me, talking to some little boys and family there, saying Dagote, hi in Apache. But anyway... yeah, I could go on and on about the contributions of Native culture to America, but I will. But, you know, there's more Native folks, Atachan Indians, indigenous here in Arizona than anywhere else, probably than New Mexico and Oklahoma, maybe, where my mom was born. But how often do you ever see them? How often do you ever interact with them? And it's pretty rare. And if you went to the res, you'd see that it's like a third world condition. And so that is real racism still, not what you're seeing on TV. But going into local news, so recently, remember I was talking about child abuse and child crimes and child sacrifice and how the left is really at the source, not all of them, but at the source have made alliances with the adversary. So for local news, Maricopa County Assessor Paul Peterson was indicted in adoption fraud and by the Arizona Attorney General's office, but he has since gone into federal custody. And so this goes back to Trump. If you've been following the show, I've been taking you through how Trump is going after all of the child crimes folks. And again, this is happening right here. And this guy was never in the office, and he was also bringing in women from the Marshall Islands. Those are indigenous people, transporting them to Utah, and they were paid to give up their children. And so it doesn't really say this, because this is what happened to Indian kids too, but he was really selling kids. That's really what it comes down to. It's child slavery is what it really is. They're just not calling it that. And this is what we saw with Epstein. This is what we've seen with Uma Abedin Wiener, that Clinton's being investigated for, all of that. And that is still right here. And of course, that's what's happened to all the illegal kids coming up as well. So this is the worst crimes and the worst sin. And it is getting cleaned up here slowly. I know it's very slow. I know everybody is waiting for more to happen. But you got to understand that the intelligence community is fighting Trump. And the Department of Justice is fighting Trump. When Barr went over to Ukraine and Australia, remember, it started with an Australia diplomat. And he didn't tell, and he went to Italy, couldn't tell anybody that he was coming because they're still... The deep state, and the deep state is basically the executive branch, which is out of control. Because remember, they started after me and back in under Bush back in 04, is they're not beholden to anybody. They're not, nobody can get to them. And the intelligence community, Truman warned us about this, and the military industrial complex, Eisenhower warned us about this, and the Department of Justice. It's very hard. A lot of them have been fired, but it's very hard to sort those out. Something else that has come out that you probably didn't hear about is the DNI has declassified the FISA Judge James Boasberg's 2018 ruling. So kind of let me translate that. The DNI, the Director of National Intelligence, and again, I was with the Defense Intelligence Agency, and I was with the Department of Justice. I was dual credentialed, and I was in the Army at the same time. So I was across the executive branch, released a FISA report and declassified it. And remember, I've talked about there's an unholy alliance. I can't violate classified stuff, but I've said for a long time there's an unholy alliance between the Department of Justice and the intelligence community. And what this comes out to saying is that the FBI conducted tens of thousands of unauthorized NSA database queries. And I know this intimately. I knew these databases. I know how they started. I know how they developed. I know how they were taken over. I used to use them. But that's when there was ethics and morality. The court concluded that the FBI had been improperly searching database of raw intelligence for information on Americans. The court ruling identifies tens of thousands of improper searches of raw intelligence databases by the Bureau in 2017 and 2018. 2017 and 2018, they were still doing it, folks. In part because they involved data related to tens of thousands of emails or telephone numbers, in one case suggesting that the FBI was using the intelligence information to vet its personnel and cooperating sources. So this is why it's taken so long. I think it's taken so long for Barr to do any indictments is because they're not cooperating at all. You know, you hear Brennan out there, you hear Comey out there, and it is very, very difficult to make this happen. So the FISA court should just go away. It's just not worth it. Everything is being recorded anyway. The FISA court concluded that the FBI's querying and minimization procedure. So minimization is something we used to do that if we had a Title III wiretap, which I've done, listening in on bad guys' conversations, if they weren't talking about crimes, we were supposed to hang up. That's what minimization was. Minimization procedures as implemented were inconsistent with Section 702 and the Fourth Amendment. That's the right to be free from illegal search and seizures, because the British used to come into our homes and search and take everything over. And this happened to a large number of individuals, a large number of Americans. And you haven't heard a lot about that. You haven't heard, you're hearing about the phony impeachment inquiry, which is not really impeachment, and you're not even hearing much about that because it's under the Intelligence Committee under Schiff, which I've talked about before, and it's under Schiff so that it can be closed off because it's an Intelligence Committee matter. But there's nothing there that can't be talked about, and these phony whistleblowers. Let me tell you. So the deep state is the Intelligence Committee and the Department of Justice. And they are linked up with Schiff. Schiff was talking to the so-called whistleblower. It's a fake whistleblower. I was a real whistleblower. Any real whistleblower will tell you, if you're really blowing the whistle on the government, they come after you because they're in trouble. They hammer you. They just destroy you. You've heard Vince Cefalo on the show. I haven't had Jay Dobbins on there, but they said he blew up his own house. Real whistleblowers, we have a really hard time. This is not real whistleblowing. This is a bunch of phony leaks behind. This is basically the Mueller report all over again, because they are so caught up in so much criminality. These budgets are huge. And what are we getting for that? You know, for example, the FBI, remember I talked about them, their budget, and I graduated from the FBI Academy because the DEA didn't have their own academy back then in 1990. It's a cool place. It's, if you saw Silence of the Lambs, Jodie Foster's actually running the obstacle course there. She's actually there which is cool, but an $8 billion budget. What are we getting for that? How'd the Epstein investigation unfold? Nothing. We haven't heard anything. It's a cover-up. There's tapes. They're not readable. He didn't die in there. Nothing. Las Vegas. Okay? The FBI was supposed to be investigating Las Vegas. What have we heard about that? Nothing. Although there's plenty of whistleblowers coming out there really talking about that, not the phony whistleblowers that are being put out there. But from what I'm hearing from CIA and FBI, real whistleblowers, though not the ones that are on TV. Well, they don't even reveal them. But Brad Johnson, a retired CIA officer, Rich Higgins, a former Pentagon official, Tony Schaefer, who is a DIA with me, the DIA fired him because he found data mined Osama bin Laden. But Antifa literature was found in the shooter's room in Las Vegas. And I know enough about special operations, done a lot of them, and I've talked to a lot of folks in tier one areas that not there wasn't one guy doing all that stuff. There were lots of contacts, lots of support happening there. And the FBI in Las Vegas suppressed all that. Where's all that? I've worked Las Vegas several times. There's everything is on video. Everything. I've worked crooks up there. They'll tell you what they had for breakfast. They want to get back to taking your money through gambling. They don't want DEA in there. And what's happened with that? Nothing. So I think that was another FBI-arranged operation. Maybe I've heard with Saudi Arabia, but the point is, what are we getting for our money for all this? And the answer is nothing. And the important point here is that the declassification by the DNI, by the Director of National Intelligence, about the FISA court applications is they just weren't spying on Congress, which they admitted. They just weren't spying on Trump. They're spying on you. They came after Trump. They came after me, but they're really after you. They want to keep their power base. That is the real scary thing that's going on. And that's why you see all these ridiculous allegations, and Trump is exposing it all. Trump's no saint, but he's exposing it all. And that's why you're hearing all this crazy stuff. But I'm running over again. This is Jeff Prather on the Prather Point. I'll be right back with you for the final segment after this. Jeff Prather on the Prather Point in the Perfection All Work Studios. That was a great commercial with John C. Scott. I know John, he's a nice guy. We totally disagree. Mike, if you're listening, let's get me and John debating. That would be really good. I don't know if you guys heard, but there's video, I believe, of Ilhan Omar and her married boyfriend, because she just divorced her husband, not her husband when she married her brother, but she was just at the Minnesota rally there where they were beating Trump supporters, burning their hats, and waving the communist flag. Yeah, you didn't see that on Fox News, did you? So in Hong Kong, they're waving the American flag. In Minnesota, they're waving the communist flag. So for those of you who are civilians, we have flags to show us what side we're on, okay? It can't get any more obvious than that. These guys have sold out to the Chinese. They've sold out to the Russians. And Trump, who is already rich and a patriot, is trying to stop that. And they are not trying to win elections anymore. They're just trying to stay out of jail. You know, I hope you understand the enormity of this. They're waving Chinese communist, not Hong Kong, Chinese communist flags in Minnesota as they beat Trump supporters and burn their hats. And Omar, the female congresswoman out there, is running around with a burqa on and her married boyfriend's out there because they've all been sold out. They're intelligence assets of our enemies. Anyway, I got a phone call. Paul, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. Concerning the this FBI situation, I recall that during the Clinton administration that it came out that there were dozens and dozens of raw FBI files in the White House accessible to the president and his wife. And I was wondering if the president can get a hold of files like that then why can't Trump do it, or why can't anyone do it? I mean, how can we trust the FBI at all?
Well, we can't at this point. I would be downsizing them dramatically. The NSA has all these emails. Ukraine has them. Chalupa, the Ukrainian, that's why the big Ukrainian thing is because Biden and Biden's son was in, although Biden's son just resigned from the Chinese thing, but Romney's son, Biden's son, Kerry's son, they're all wrapped up in it. And the NSA has all that stuff there. And their emails, they were sent to other people. And that's what Trump was talking about. We need to cut back these intelligence and federal police dramatically. They're not doing any good. I know them intimately. And a lot of people say, well, it's just the bosses, the rank and file. You know, I was going to talk about my story more. But it wasn't just the rank. It just wasn't the bosses. It was a lot of the rank and file. Towards the end there, you know, there were most of the good guys had left, and it was very bad. But thanks for the call, Paul. And Andy, welcome to the show. Oh, is Andy there? Hang up. Hang on. Anyway, are you
Hello?
There?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, like Paul says, your show's the greatest thing on the air right now. As far as Trump goes, you know, he may not be, I may not personally like the guy or no, you know, I don't know him. I mean, I want to have a beer to sit down with him, but back in the Old West a lot of times, these outposts, these towns that were way out in the middle of anywhere, had bad people come in there, and sometimes they had to hire a guy to be a marshal or a sheriff that knew all their tricks, you know. Wyatt Earp wasn't a saint at all. He was, you know, a bouncer for prostitutes in his early life, and he did some, you know, other side of the track kind of things. But he knew what a bad guy was and what the bad guys did, and that's why he was hired as sheriff. Not because he went to church every Sunday and was a lily white, man of protocol. And as far as the Chinese are concerned, about their big spat with the NBA, why would their feelings be hurt? The communists really don't have feelings. If you have feelings over there, you'll get locked up in a gulag. And besides that, if their system was so great, why would they have to defend it at all?
Great point. Really good. Yeah. They don't really like Wyatt much in Tombstone. Notorious thumper and maybe a pimp, but standing up, basically, yeah, Trump is certainly no saint. The NBA, yeah, they're censoring free Hong Kong signs in America. And the same guys that are standing up for, bowing, kneeling for the flag, what's his name? And he was told to do that by a Green Beret. I can't think of the guy's
Kaepernick
name.
Kaepernick or...
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
They're just total hypocrites. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And China, this is the total war. Every show I think I'm going to... And I don't know if the show's going to be on after this month. Mike is standing by me, but I do need more sponsors. GoGetFunding.com. GoGetFunding.com, the Prather Point. I lost a sponsor. It is just ridiculous what the Chinese are doing, and we are winning. Trump is changing the international landscape by standing up to them, and they've all sold out, and that's the big problem there.
It's showing up, and you're bringing this to light, and it's fantastic. I will go to that Prather Point and do support you as much as I can, because this is a valuable program. Nobody else talks like this. And the Chinese are ridiculous. They hurt their feelings. These people in a communist, your feelings are suppressed.
Well, they just shot another kid, and they've got 100 million, not 100 million. I don't know how many Muslims in camps and everything. But you're right. But this, and if North Korea opens up, everything changes. But thanks for the call, Mark. And it's gogetfunding.com, the Prather Point. And I appreciate other donations. Lewis, Amber out there. And let's see. Mark, you're on the air.
Yes. Sukkot Hag Sameach. And also, is there a way to get some sort of a bill or law going that communists are not allowed to run for president? Let's start with that one. For example, Comrade Bernadoff Sandursky should never have been allowed to run for any high office.
The head of the CIA had voted for a communist. Brennan was well, he voted for a communist. I mean, Van Jones was a communist. It used to be exactly the opposite. So because we had, and then the head of FBI counterintelligence, Stroke, is texting his lover. He understands nothing about counterintelligence and being blackmailed anymore. So you want actually Congress to do their job? I mean, they have never done their job. I mean, Mark Twain and Will Rogers, I could tell, you know, every time Congress makes a joke, it's a law. Every time they make a law, it's a joke, you know. So vote them out. Vote them out. I think it's going to be a landslide for Trump. I think Biden's going to drop. Bernie's going to drop out of there.
The communists have been our greatest enemy in our American history, bar none. Yeah, we've had other enemies, but communists are the greatest.
Years ago, I showed a film at Warrior School called Agenda, showing how the communists had infiltrated. I always run out of time to talk about that, but it's called Agenda because it's not a secret. It's not a conspiracy. They've just come in and infiltrated our system, and that's what they're doing right now with the Netflix stuff, with Madam Secretary, with Designated Survivor. You know, it's all just terrible.
And it starts in preschool. It starts in preschool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're talking about with the desks together?
That's education.
Yeah.
Preschool.
Yeah. Well, yes, it is. But thanks for the call, Mark. GoGetFunding.com. But it's, you know, we're winning. We are winning. And Catherine, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mr. Prather. Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering when an American citizen can step in and, like, handcuff Adam Schiff, for example, and put him under citizen's arrest and try him. When can we Americans step in and do? I feel like we need to step in.
Well, I teach at warriorschool.com. I teach unarmed and armed security. I teach a lot about the laws, about making citizens arrest. That's not going to happen with a representative. They have the Capitol Police. They got all kinds of security going up there. But that's what Barr is trying to do, where he's been in Italy, he's been in Ukraine, he's been in Australia, is trying to unearth and figure out what the predicate for this spying was, if it was legal or not. Durham has expanded his investigation. And so that is hopefully what will happen. But you'd have to have a convention of states. That would be my friend Jeff Utch, I think, might be on this station, on another, I don't know, doing the freedom conventions, but very difficult to make that happen. You know, we all know that Hillary should be in jail. You can talk to any intelligence professional. If we had done what they'd done, we'd be in jail, and it has happened. You know, I'm running out of time again, but, you know, they came after me. They first came after me in 2004 when I said that the DEA was stopping my extradition case against the first cartel leader, Miguel Caro Quintero. And they went after me for years, and they came after me again this year. And they just keep coming because they get bought off and they are afraid of getting caught. And that's what happens with real whistleblowers. But we are winning. You know, the Q stuff, 8chan is not back. It might be 8kun. Chan is a diminutive in Japanese, so kun is for a older. So that may come up, but they've silenced that. They've made them a terrorist group. But we are winning. There is hope. Have faith. Be thankful for our indigenous heritage, for their compassion, and look into Sukkot. And keep the faith, keep praying, and we will restore our republic. And support the show. GoGetFunding.com, The Prather Point, to keep me on the air. This is Jeff Prather on The Prather Point, the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Back with you next week. God bless.